Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk the science of perfection, the pickle juice cure, and more with kickboxer retaliation star Alain Moussi. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Back, another edition of an action-packed Fit Club with our great star, Alain Moussi. Glad to have you, man.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Excited for a good episode.
Absolutely.
As always, guys, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Hey, guys, you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
Hey, you can find me at Alain Moussi and on Instagram, Twitter, and Alain Moussi Official on Facebook.
Hey, man. Well, we are so excited to have you. You got this new movie coming out, Kickboxer Retaliation, a reboot of the original Kickboxer with Jean-Claude Van Damme, a childhood, someone you looked up to in your childhood, huh?
Absolutely, man. It's awesome. It's just, it's a dream come true for me.
Yeah, this must be an amazing time and moment for you, huh?
Yeah. Well, listen, the release is coming. We just had a red carpet event last week in LA. And it was a huge success. Just incredible energy, and the audience reactions were incredible. So that's all I can hope for.
Yeah, we got to talk about that more. But before we get there, we got a couple of stories for our viewers here. The first one I thought was so interesting. We talked about the pursuit of perfection. And it looks like Tom Curran, he's a social psychologist, has been studying this. And it looks like over time, about 33% of there's been a 33% rise in our pursuit of perfection or the way we view that. And there's a real danger in whether or not that can help because it can motivate you, or it can actually lead to some increased instances of depression and anxiety. How have you dealt with that pursuit? Because obviously, a little kid wants to be like Jean-Claude Van Damme, and you've made it. You had some of that in you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I think it's important to have the pursuit of perfection. Obviously, you want to improve all the time, but you have to look at it as wanting to improve and bettering yourself from one step to the next. And I think that would be the main thing. And eventually, be as much of an expert in whatever you're doing as you can. Yeah. For me, it was martial arts taught me that a lot. I mean, because you start as a white belt, your goal is to get a black belt. Yeah. If I was hoping within the first 3 months to be at the level of that black belt, I would be depressed. Yeah. It would not work. So the idea, I think, is short-term goals. A lot of people, they have these long-term goals. And if they're not attained within a very, very short period of time, that's when they get depressed. I think to break things, long-term goals and short-term goals, you have many successes.
Yeah.
And you can celebrate those successes. Whoa. Any way you want to celebrate that is your choice. I mean, whatever works for you. But, the idea is to feel good about every single step you're going through.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing with that is you have people, even in the small steps, they want to do those steps to perfection.
Yeah.
And it's not attainable. Like at the end of the day, you have to realize that you are your own individual, and everybody, no matter who you are, makes mistakes.
Absolutely.
And even though you might see this person on television, whatever, and you might not see the stuff that they do, or even if you take social media, because I think they talked about social media in the article, you take social media and you're seeing this person do everything to perfection on social media for 60 seconds.
You're
forgetting that they edit stuff. They might have done it 100 times before they posted it. So all these things that you don't get to see. So it's just kind of like it does cause those type of stuff. And I think with people who I experienced this a lot being a first generation. My parents were both immigrants. Yeah. So you experience that because they expect a lot from you. And I think today's society, now everything has gotten so competitive.
Yeah.
So now you would think that a university education is going to help, but it really doesn't matter in some instances. So now everybody's competitive, and the parents are looking at like, okay, there are people who have kids who go to college, and now they're moving back home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how can I make my child, push my child to the point where they're not moving back home? They can do all these other stuff, and parents are pushing their children to that extent. So it's a big thing.
Now, I think one of the things that causes that is you see it all the time now in soccer teams and hockey teams or whatever sports teams, everybody gets a medal. And I know that's a huge controversy. And I'm like, dude, you need a winner, you need a loser.
Yes.
But people are trying to avoid losing. And I'm like, that's how you learn, man.
Exactly.
Your failures make you grow.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. Conor McGregor said this actually many times, but he's like, either I win or I grow.
Yeah.
Or I win or I learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge believer in that. I have tons of failures. Actually, it's funny you say about social media. I tend to post when I screw things up. I'll be practicing, I'll shoot a few videos, and I'll get some cool stuff, some cool kicks and whatever.
Right.
But then I remember this one flip. I was working on this big dummy, and I do this backward flip, and my foot caught on the dummy, so I ended up flipping and falling flat on my back. That's the one I posted.
Yeah.
Why not,
And I think people resonate with that, because that happens to everyone. And everyone probably attempting that many times is going to have a mess up, and I think we relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, get rid of those participation things.
Yeah,
you got to learn how to fail, because what happens, people feel like winners, they don't you know, in Canada anyways, people don't get held back in school anymore. So you can't do that. I know a lot of my friends are teachers.
They don't get held back? They're not allowed to be held back?
No, no, no. You have to pass the kid.
Pass them.
We'll make it up next time. We'll make it up next time. But then all these people, these kids grow up, and now they get to college where their teachers don't care anymore, and there's no rules anymore. So then they fail, but they haven't learned how to fail.
How to cope with it. Yeah,
how to cope with it. So then they get depressed, and that's how it happens. But it has to start young. You have to learn how to fail and move on, you know, and grow.
And then sometimes you realize that that might not be for you. So in the quest of perfection, say if you want to be, you know, the best doctor or whatever it is, you know, you have to take all those little steps to get there. But if you realize that from an early age, like, you know, science or whatever is not necessarily your thing, you can get the grade, but it's not your thing. It doesn't come as natural for you. Then, you know, instead of the teacher failing you up, you realize, okay, this might not be the thing. Let's, you know, try something else.
Of course.
Yeah, and that's what the article, I think, emphasized would be a solution of some sorts. It's not that you ditch perfection, but you do it more conscientiously and more diligently.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you're pursuing this one item of perfection, but conscientiously, you know, it will take 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I want the black belt, but conscientiously, it's going to take this long. So I'll be perfect in achieving it slowly on the way there.
Exactly. I think you got to appreciate the journey.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always big on that. You know, you got to have fun on the journey. It's not just about the destination. The journey is what's the most
That's
fun.
That's the perfection. It's the journey, right?
The journey.
I love that. And I think we had another... Oh, this was the next story, talking about a long journey. So, you know, Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's got this newsletter called Goop. And I guess... Is it sort of like a fitness newsletter for like very wealthy individuals or people that can...
It's one of those things.
Educate me, please, because I know nothing about this.
Gwyneth Paltrow is one of those people that people love to hate. I gotta feel sorry for her because she's really like into. She's very like a health guru. She's really into health and bettering people. But it's almost like when Michelle Obama had her campaign and people are like, "Well, Michelle, you can't tell us what to eat," and she's just giving you options.
Yeah.
And the thing with Gwyneth Paltrow in that particular article there, I think one of the main things was like the coffee enema or something like that. Yeah. And the thing is, the thing is that it feels like in society that we didn't have all these options 200 or 100 years ago. You just like ate real fruit, you know, that didn't have steroids and all this other stuff in it. And then, you know, in the West Indies, we had this plant where you take it and, you know, you drink it and it makes you kind of, you know, do your thing. But it was like a plant.
Yeah.
But now it's like all these options of, you know, okay, well, you know, you're working out, you're doing this. Okay, try this $200, $50, you know. It's,
And it hasn't also, it hasn't necessarily been vetted. So, like, so people are saying these coffee enemas may not actually help, but I guess it's part of the Gerson therapy. Have you heard of the Gerson therapy?
Nope.
So basically you drink raw juices, raw diet, coffee enemas, and it's supposed to cure cancer, arthritis, heart disease, but there's been no tons of credible evidence.
So if there's no data, there's no hard data.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, okay, so how can you make those statements?
Yeah, so I was going to say, how do you deal when you, or how do you take in the information when you hear about something like this coffee enema and it's being pitched by someone who's reputable and, you know.
We're in L.A.
But you want
so everything works, right? That's all good. You jump on something, jump on a train and then see what happens.
And if something's cutting edge, though, you want to be at the forefront. So how do you distinguish between what you do?
Okay, so for me, and this is, let's say, for me, this works.
Yeah.
Okay, just for me. You can try it if you want, but for me, this works. I tend to consult people who have done it. I tend to consult people. So, for example, in my nutrition now, I mean, I consulted a sports nutritionist who works with Olympians and pro athletes.
Yeah.
He now did my diet script and everything I need to do based on the amount of training I'm doing. To me, that was an expert.
Yeah.
To me, that was something who's dealt with athletes before and knows what they need, whether it's to gain muscle, trim down, to whatever.
Yeah.
And I need to have the right solution for it, not just look on the net. At where, by the way, anybody's an expert, and anybody can post anything, or just jump on the next fad that's going on.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I've also tried a lot of supplements. I've done, you know, whether it's glutamine and proteins, and I've jumped from one to the other, not knowing anything, not really knowing, just listening to my buddies.
Yeah.
And today, it's completely different for me. I consult experts who've done it, whether it's in bodybuilding, whether it's in competitive MMA, which is, you know what I mean? I really try to find experts and who have hard data about things and then, you know, see how it works for me. And if it does, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, let it go. Right. Move on.
Yeah. But the thing, too, like with with your background, also if you're an athlete, you can almost afford, as long as it's nothing, you know, illegal, you can almost afford to put something into your body because your body's a fine-tuned machine, so it'll kick it out. But if you're somebody who doesn't necessarily work out all the time and then, you know, they want to, you want to try this, you want to try that, there's so many other things on a baseline that you need to check out. So if you're looking for the three-week fix, then maybe it's not necessarily a three-week fix that you need. You need something that's going to fix your mental state, because if you're going up and down all the time, it doesn't necessarily have to do with the food or the exercise. It's like, well, why are you going up and all, down all the time? So I think as a, in society, we're not dealing with, you know, mental health issues, which is a big thing, not just in fitness. And that's something that you should truly look at versus, you know, I want to, I need to lose weight in 21 days.
See, and again, I don't really, you can do that. And I've, you know, people have done it, but it doesn't mean it's the lasting thing. That's when most people, they say, I want, whether they want to lose weight, gain muscle, whatever it is, they want it in 21 days. The problem is, it's years in the making.
And
it's a lifestyle.
You know? And your diet is actually kind of like one of the things I think is like a risky thing to play with. It's almost like telling someone this medication has all these side effects. Well, messing up with your diet has all these side effects
as well. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. But people don't think of it in that, in those terms.
It's speaking from experience, like I've definitely done like the extreme stuff. It's like, okay, well, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to do all this and all that. And as the years we're on, and it's been like 2 weeks. Okay, I need to drop weight. Cool, I'm good. Now it's not taking 2 weeks. Now it's going to take 6 months. And, you know, and I'm lucky enough that I have a sports background. I have an athletic background where it's like, okay, you know, I can figure it out, get it together. My body still remembers stuff like that. But if you don't, and you've been doing this all the time, and you don't have a good baseline
to go back to,
it's, tough.
It's not. And then now you're dealing with depression. Now you're dealing with all the other things that you're almost trying to get away from. So it's the thing with Gwyneth is you love the intention, what she's trying to do. But it's just kind of one of those things where, and I definitely, I would love to see who, where all her, like, where all the hits are coming from. Because I have a strong feeling it's like, you know, definitely LA-based and definitely people who have, you know, more money to burn on.
And it should be, I think when you take something like her newsletter, it should be like, here's this, now you go research, rather than here's this, and now go do
Well, nobody's going to do that. People are not probably even reading the whole newsletter.
No, exactly. That's that. I question a lot of things. So when I see something like that, okay, so then let's research and see what's
especially
going on with this,
you know? Who's got all these resources at her behest, which she's probably had her entire life. So she's going to look great. So, you know, that might not actually be reflective of why she's so such in great shape now.
Hey, most of the time, any celebrity is more influential than any expert. Like right away, any day is of the week. So, I mean, it's, you know, obviously a lot of people will jump in the bandwagon.
That Kardashian effect.
Exactly. That's it. That's it.
Well, speaking of some dietary changes, it looks like 77% more Americans are adding more protein to their diet. And 58% of those are choosing vegan protein as a result. Well, and, you know, I'm the vegan champion here, so I'm always rooting for that. I love that stuff.
You're going to like that one.
There you go.
Apparently, Veganuary is something. I didn't even know Veganuary. People are doing, January, Veganuary is a thing. And apparently, the Veganuary signups have been through the roof. Throughout your career, you've dealt with different diets. How did you how did you go through that process, and how did you eventually settle on what you do now?
Okay, so obviously I started going to the gym as a teenager, and then you hear protein equals chicken and meat and all that kind of stuff, right? So I grew up doing that, trying to put on weight or whatever it was. When I started doing stunt work, there was the first time I really needed to get trim. I was doubling Henry Cavill, and he was ridiculously ripped and like had 8 abs. And I'm like, oh, my God, okay. So I was in shape, but not that lean. So then I consulted. We had was a bodybuilding coach, and he does a lot of different things. But I went on a bodybuilding diet for 2 months, 8 weeks to start. And then we went through 6 months. But it was like all protein and veggies. Now, what that meant was meat, protein, and veggies. And nothing else. No fruit, no sugars, no nothing. So, but we're training 8 hours a day. So where'd you get your energy from at some point? So for me, I would have like definitely, I was happy there was apples, because then I was like, oh my God, lightheaded, and you have apples. And it sucked for the whole time. It's like, I couldn't wait for, I called it cheat day at the time. I'd call it something different now. But it was like, I get to the cheat day and I go crazy. I'd be like, let's go pizza and wine and beer and whatever I could put
in
my body.
You're almost in worse shape now.
But apparently, what that does, when you have one day where you go excessive on whether it's fats or whatever, it actually flushes your system. So that helps. So that was my first experience. When I started working on Kickboxer, I consulted somebody in nutrition, in sports nutrition, everything. So he said, okay, so when do you train? How much do you train? What do you like to eat? And then he totally scripted. He did a full body comp test and then scripted something and then showed it to me. And I looked at it and I'm like, okay, where's all the meat protein? That was my first reaction. It was a lot less than I'm used to. And it's like, I knew you were going to say that. So it's like, no, what we're going to try to do is fuel you to train, then work on your recovery, and then we'll taper down with certain protein. But what you're not seeing is because there are milk products and there are breads and there are all there's protein in everything. But you're just not seeing it as protein right now. So let's try it out and see what happens. So after 3 weeks, we revisited. I had lost weight about 2-3 pounds a week training. I had so much energy to train. I could train harder, longer than I ever could. You know, it was awesome. And I kept on doing that. So instead of trying to do this, you know, crash, 3 week crash, I went for few months gradually, but then what happened is after a shoot, I kept it off. It was like it was so easy. I was like my
body wanted to like rebound and like just eat a bunch of crap.
Man, I used to after a shoot of doing like the bodybuilder diet, you put you know start eating a bit more pizza and bread and stuff. Oh my god, I would balloon, you know. So this totally changed the way I eat, and I could sustain it all year long. So I have this like 80-20 split now, where I have fun and I because I you know listen, I'm balanced. I can't say I'm like clean every day of the year. No, I like having a beer. I like wine. I like pizza. I like all this. I like ice cream. Love ice cream. So for me, I needed to find a solution I could sustain all year because I train all year. I do all that, right? So that was the solution for me. And now, man, I have so much control on all this stuff. It's so nice because I never question going out to restaurants. I never question having fun with my friends.
Balance. You know how to balance it.
Exactly.
That's funny enough. That's how I became vegan was I started off in bodybuilding and then they put you on this bodybuilding diet and then you look great. And then I was getting depressed afterwards. And the thing is, I still looked good afterwards, but just not as good as I looked on stage.
No.
And so you just start going, but there's got to be a way to sustain this. So long-term solutions. And I did smoothie diets. And then finally, veganism kind of gave me a balance.
Yeah, it's just definitely, I think with the protein push, like you get that through athletics. Like even, you know, when I was at Oregon, the dietitian was pushing like, oh, you need, you know, more protein in your diet. You need this, you need that. And, you know, one, you have to realize that all the diets that you see online, first, you know, they're not necessarily experts who are putting those diets out. And two, it might not be for your body type what would work for you. So that's one thing. And then for me, I fell in the same thing. That's how I kind of got into, you know, first vegetarian and now I'm a vegan. My dad has been vegetarian all my life. So we kind of went in and out for years. And then when I moved to the U.S., it was kind of one of those things where I felt like the meat wasn't, specifically the chicken, wasn't it wasn't reacting to my body. So I cut out the chicken. Then I cut out everything else. And now, just being vegan, I find that I'm still balancing everything, but I'm not experiencing that yo-yo. Like, I'm gradually coming down that scale, minus, okay, I'm going to do a hard, you know, no carbs, no this, no that. Because that's not life.
No, it's not life at all.
And, you know, I don't want to, you know, it's like, okay, well, we got to this point. Now what now? You know what I'm saying? You just kind of find that balance that works for you. You don't have to necessarily be vegan, even though I know Shaka wants everybody to be vegan. You don't have to be vegan, but you find something that that works for you. But then on top of that, you have to wonder, too, I think, what was it? What the Health, the documentary that came out? Even though I know it's not balanced, folks, so don't come after me. But you have to almost question, you know, who's pushing, you know, eating eggs all the time. Who's pushing all this other stuff? So, you know, if you don't necessarily need meat with every meal. So, you know, I think if you're really questioning what works for you, then you need to go to a professional to kind of, if you're not in tune with your body and you don't have the answers, then go to a professional to find out what will work with you, work for you, and what you're willing to kind of negotiate.
Hey, to actually go, like, not against it, but to the counterpart of veganism. I heard that Joe Rogan podcast, which I listened to.
He
had the carnivore diet. Did you see?
Oh, my God.
I was like, are you kidding me? Meat only, and that's it?
I was like, that Atkins.
I refuse. No, not even that.
It's just all meat.
My friend's on this meat diet, though. He's on my friend, actually, last night told me, oh, I'm on this carnivorous diet.
Oh, my gosh. What's his fart smell like?
We haven't had that discussion.
That's the question that
popped. Okay, so I don't know if you experienced this.
He's been on it for 23 days, so I don't see much of a difference. Hopefully he's not watching. I don't see much of a difference. And to me, it's just like probably not healthy for the arteries.
Well, that's my
I don't know.
Thing.
I couldn't do it.
I
love meat. Yeah. Carnivore only. I need variety. Variety is
the spice
of life.
But this is my thing with the whole gas issue. I found that when I became vegan, like I thought after you hit, like when you're an adult, it's just supposed to stink. Because you're just...
Oh, no.
You're just supposed to... that's just what it is.
Someone just built up
inside. Right. Everybody does that. And then I found after that, I'm like, oh, Like, that's not a thing, because it's whatever you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are, and when I say that, obviously it's gross, I know. But when I say that, it's like, wait a minute. Like, you should actually think about that. Like, why are you almost killing yourself through your gas? It's coming out of your body. Yeah. So what's happening?
What are you putting in?
Yeah, what are you putting in? So that's a, like, you know, people should definitely look at that. And people look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, no, it's really not supposed to stay.
We actually had an MD, Dr. Shamak, on here. And we talked about gut health, because that's so important. Like, what happens down there is going to be indicative of your health. So you do have to pay attention.
Don't try. If you're killing yourself, then you need to stop.
Yeah, you need to stop and do something about
those,
it. Yeah.
Put those ribs down.
But yeah, for me, I think the most important solution was this. It was eating to fuel and recover, especially in what I do. Yeah. Whether it's training for the film, training for whatever I'm doing, because I'm training every day, or on the set, because I'm fighting sometimes 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And the next day, we got to do it over. Like, the end fight in this last movie is 7 days of fighting.
So let me ask you, fasted cardio fan or no?
Sorry?
Fasted cardio fan or no?
My cardio is kickboxing. Yeah. So I do my cardio doing martial arts, because it's just intensity in the training. But I don't like running. I don't like doing cardio like for an hour at a time. Oh,
he's an athlete.
It kills my brain. I can't do it. I can't handle it.
You don't attempt to do it fasted, though, do you?
To do...
Like your kickbox. Like, when you do cardio for kickboxing, do you try to do it fasted?
Cardio fast. No.
I'm not
a fan of fasting, man.
I can't handle it.
I
told people, like, I don't have no energy to do the cardio if I haven't eaten.
Well, that's more of a fitness thing. I think because I was reading like an article about you and your training.
Yeah.
Like
you
train like an athlete. Yeah, I don't know any athletes who do fasted cardio.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I mean, and that's another thing too with workouts. It's just kind of like, yeah, you could do the fasted cardio that whatever you're trying to do, but if you were to honestly put in the work and almost put in like what an athlete, even do half an hour of what an athlete does,
you
have
need
something
the food
to push you to that, then you don't need the fast cardio.
You need the fuel, in fact. Yeah. You won't be able to do it.
Dude, I got to increase calories most of the time, just because it's like it's too much.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, that's the balance I had to find is exactly that, is how to fuel and how to recover faster, because I got to go again the next day and the next day. So you're working like an athlete.
Yeah, so how did your training change? Because you did Henry Cavill, you did Hugh Jackman for X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, it was cool.
So like you're having...
I was Wolverine, man.
That's insane. And you're having to get in that shape, which is, I mean, and both bodies are different, so you have to get in different shape, and then you have to kind of decide what's your ideal physique.
That's right.
So how did you go from those changes, and what have you decided you want for yourself?
Okay, so Henry Cavill, like I told you, was like, when you double, you have to look at proportions.
Yeah.
So you look at the body type, you look at proportions, and my training was based on, with Henry, to increase the chest, because he's got a huge chest, and biceps. Those were the two distinct things, and he had narrower shoulders.
Yeah.
So I couldn't grow in my shoulders. I had bigger shoulders, so I had to really, my training was chest and arms a lot, and then get really trimmed down to be as cut as he was. That was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh's huge. Like, he's thick, right?
He's a thick tall dude.
He's 6'1" or 6'2".
Oh, wow.
He is tall. He's a little taller than I am.
I thought he was short.
Yeah, because a lot of actors are short.
No. He's one of the tall guys. He's above 6 feet. So when they told me about Hugh and Plus, I came in, I met the producers, and they looked at me like, oh, do you think you're going to be big enough? Mm-hmm. Because I was trim at the time, right? Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, okay. So again, with using the diet that I did, I told them I need 3 week prep. Like, I only had 3 weeks. So I said, I got to go full time twice a day in the gym, because I got to put on size for this one. And they're like, okay, no problem. You do that, and it was all good. So what I did is I changed my nutrition, increased the calories and the types of macros I had to increase size.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was doing some cardio just because I had to increase muscle size but get leaner, which is two things that are opposites that I have to do at the same time.
But you were able to do it at the same time.
I did.
I keep telling people it's possible.
Totally. Yeah. I increased. I went up 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And again, I don't take supplements. I take very little supplements.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I take protein as a more of a meal replacement if I don't have time to eat.
Yeah.
Or I take glutamine.
Yeah.
Those are the two things I usually take. But it was all real food. I just ate a lot more and the right things, and I balanced it out. But by that time, I kind of knew how my body reacted to certain foods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
3 weeks later, I get back to set and like, holy shit. Like, what do you do? And I'm like, did you take steroids? Actually, that question came up a few times. Yeah. Did you take steroids?
Yeah.
And I'm like, not at all. No,
Mark Wahlberg's homie hookup. Mark Wahlberg's homie hookup. Allegedly.
Yeah. So you see, when you double, you literally have to look at the dude. I watched Wolverine, and I said, I got to look like Hugh. So what are his body proportions, and this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
Now, for myself, if you look at the film, I have to be able to move.
Yeah.
And I have to be athletic. Now, what I go for is more of a fighter's body. Mm-hmm. I would need to be lean. I want to be muscular for sure. Mm-hmm. And that, but I have that, you know, I'm pretty, I have a size already. The bigger I am, the less I can jump, the slower I am. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I want to be fast and dynamic.
Yeah.
So I got to find the balance between that and then be as lean as I can to have as much energy as possible.
Yeah.
So when you have a photo shoot, for example, and you've done this, and you go and you trim, you dehydrate, and then you look amazing. And I have a lot of guys that I know, they'll do that for a scene, dehydrate the whole thing, you look ripped, and the lights are there, and you got the oils, and bang, you know?
Sustain but you got to perform, though.
Yeah, I got to perform, I got to sustain it for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So you can't be that way for 8 weeks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I find the way to trim down to about, I'd say, probably anywhere between 7 and 8% body fat, more or less. And then I just maintain it.
Yeah.
And with a good nutrition and just to have as much energy as possible to do all these fight scenes.
So during those 3 weeks, you're doing cardio as well?
I did. I would do stairs. I do the Stairmaster for about 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
And so that workout balance for Hugh Jackman was I had heavy weights to do on one workout, and then the other workout with either functional fitness and cardio, a mix of both.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So every day I would do that. And it was like functional was full body fitness.
Did you eat during the workouts?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. I ate during my workouts.
Why would you eat during?
Because my workouts would be longer than an hour, and I was trying to put on size quick. And so like I was just like doing a lot of cardio in the workout, but wanted to make sure the muscles were fueled. So I would just eat a bunch of cans of tuna in between the workout and go back to the
workout. Oh, my God, man. That's diligent.
That sounds gross.
Wow, right? I couldn't do it.
This is terrible.
Good on you, man. I couldn't do it, but that's
it worked, though. Wow. It worked.
That's actually... See, that I would probably try.
Yeah.
So you've had kind of different body types throughout your career.
Yeah.
Is there a certain body type that your wife prefers?
My wife prefers now. Like, so she likes me like good size, but just not too big. You know, she doesn't like too big muscular. Mm-hmm. She likes athletic. The fighter body type thing, that's what she likes the best.
And you swim as well to prepare for this.
I do. So the swimming is I'm a little ADD when it comes to training. I need to change it up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to challenge my body to do different things because if not, your body gets used to the training and you don't progress as much.
Yeah.
So what I do now, I do a mix of bodybuilding, powerlifting, I swim, and then tons of martial arts.
Nice.
So different types of martial arts. But the swimming was interesting because it was after an ankle injury that we started doing it with my trainer. And it's to lower the impact, but then I could still be very, very intense. Mm-hmm. I could jump. I could run in the water.
Yeah.
And obviously the swimming. And what we started doing is swimming underwater.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the breath hold.
That's
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was cool. I did that as a kid for fun. But now what it did, it made my – what would you call it? It's the anaerobic capacity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It works that. So I'm able to use oxygen more efficiently.
Yeah.
And again, going back to the fight scenes, going back to in the last movie, we have a 4-minute oneer, which is cameras on you, you're fighting 17 guys and for 4 minutes, and you don't stop.
Jeez, man.
So I have to be able to be at my best the whole time.
With the hand-eye coordination, too. Yeah. That's the tough part.
Yeah, man.
And swimming is crazy. It's a great workout.
Amazing workout.
It's an amazing workout.
It's fun to change it up, and I love water. So for me, I mean, it was when he said, oh, let's introduce swimming. I'm like, oh, man, that's fun. Let's do it. It's cool.
I don't know. It's fun, but
it's you live in LA. The beach is right there.
I know.
Come on.
Oh no, I'm not. Yeah, I don't do.
Don't do the beach.
No, I'll do the pool.
Do the pool, no the beach. Yeah, oh
the
man,
because the tide. If you do the swimming, so I remember, like I'm an avid swimmer. I almost got. I did lifeguard when I was in Toronto. So I was a really great swimmer. My mom took me to the islands, and what you don't realize from swimming in a pool is the tide.
Yeah.
So I'm swimming, and I didn't realize that the tide's carrying me further and further out.
Oh
and
man.
I must have been like 8. So like I like honestly realized and I like turned the other direction and just put my hand around and was like, okay, I'm not dying. And I literally swam to the back. My mom never knew that, like I literally
God.
Yeah, it was a close call. I would not be here. So like thankfully, you know, she put me in lessons, but I don't do
See, it's interesting. Would say, I remember we were down south, and I wanted to try windsurfing.
Yeah.
I was all about that. I wanted to windsurf, and then the guy he showed me how, you know, our dude. And then I go out there, and I'm like, I'm going to try it, you know. So I'm trying to going up and falling. So focused on what I'm doing and trying to do it. And oh, finally, I stayed up and I got it, and I went back down. And as I go down, I notice I'm not touching the ground anymore. I'm not touching the sand, and I look up. I am like so far from the beach. I'm trapped. I don't know how to get back up and get the sail back up to try to swim.
Yeah,
That was scary. That was like, I never even realized how much it was pulling
you. It carries you so far. You don't even realize it's not a good look.
Crazy.
Well, stick to the pools, y'all.
Right?
Well, we got to get into the movie itself and just, I guess, give a little backstory because, you know, we've people that don't even know or have heard of the original Kickboxer.
Yeah.
With Jean-Claude Van Damme. So just give us a little backstory of the Kickboxer, then how we get to Kickboxer Retaliation.
Okay, so as a kid, I saw, my friend showed me Bloodsport first. That's the first Van Damme movie I saw. I see Bloodsport and I see Van Damme and this guy's kicking, he's doing the splits and he's athletic and he's got muscles and I'm like, I gotta be like that dude.
Yeah.
So right away I wanted to start martial arts. My parents enrolled me in jiu-jitsu, in Japanese jiu-jitsu. There was a club right near our house. It was walking distance. That was great. So I start training in jiu-jitsu and then martial arts became my obsession, especially kicking and stretching and doing the splits. I remember I would watch cartoons. And for a half hour while I was watching, I was just forcing my stretch as much as I could. Wow. I would do that every single day almost, you know, until I got to the splits. So I was very obsessed. And Kickboxer happened to be my favorite Van Damme movie over the years. You know, it's I always liked, I liked Bloodsport, I liked Double Impact, Lionheart, and Universal Soldier, and but
you're literally Kickboxer, going through his right? whole thing. Yeah. Right now. Kickboxer came out in 1989.
You go Hard Target, Time Cop.
I know, right?
We can keep on going.
This is definitely a fan right here.
I was a fan, man. I love those movies. You know, so it's no, but Kickboxer. In a reason, it was my favorite. I enjoyed the whole Thailand thing, but I love Tung Po, the opponent, the villain. Dude, that villain is badass. You know, so it was really, really cool. I really enjoyed Kickboxer. So I was training, and I always wanted to get into film, but in Ottawa. As you know, there's not much
not
going on. You know, it's not Toronto. It's
not.
So I kept on training martial arts, and through it, I have a friend of mine that used to do videos, and I did some stuff for him, and I would put fight scenes together. But what I started doing is stage shows. Our instructor John Terrian, he was head of this big federation, and they would put on a show every year. This big show, sometimes in Canada, in the U.S., in Europe. So we would travel and do these fight scenes on stage in front of thousands of people, and it was my buddy Bobby. And me and Bobby would always try to choreograph on music and really try to push the envelope. So we would watch wrestling, WWE, and then we would take on moves and transform it into martial arts moves with throws and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we got to the top. And that's how I started performing. Wow. I became a stage performer. Later on, what that gave me, which was really cool, is the fact that when you're on stage, you get one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You screw up. It's in front of everybody, and you don't get take two.
Right.
So that got me used to getting things in one take, which was interesting because later on it helped a lot. So fast forward, my martial arts, I did jiu-jitsu, I did Brazilian jiu-jitsu when I was 18, kickboxing, and then I started doing a whole bunch of like Filipino martial arts and karate and just to pick up elements of everything because I loved everything.
Yeah.
One day, my friend from Montreal, JF, he calls me. He's like, they're about to do Immortals. He was a stuntman by that time. And he said, they're prepping Immortals. I need to introduce you to Jean Frenette, who's the fight coordinator. Mm-hmm. And there's a good opportunity possibly for you. So I go into I drive to Montreal with my buddy Dennis. And he was also a stuntman from Ottawa. There's two stuntmen in Ottawa, by the way. There's myself and Dennis Lafont.
That's it. You know?
And then there's...
and Drake.
You know what I mean? That's it. So me and Dennis drive down. And Dennis had been in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Anyways, see, we train together. So we drive down together. We meet Jean and we warm up. And we go into this room with all the other stunt guys. And he said, okay, guys, sit down. Alain is going to show us what he's got. Mm-hmm. And I never expected an audition.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, what do you want me to do? And he says, well, I just do anything. What do you do? And somebody says, do anything. Mm-hmm. So finally, I'm like, I pull out everything I know. So I go, run to the wall, do a backflip. Do a front flip.
You probably got it right there.
Right? Well, I don't know. So then I do all kinds of fight techniques. I grab a nunchuck and I spin. I grab a bow and I spin the bow. And then I grab my buddy Dennis and I'm like, Dennis, just stand there. I'm going to jump and scissor you on the head. And he's like, okay. So I jump and I head scissor him and whatever. For 3 minutes, I pulled out any kind of trick that I knew how to do.
Yeah.
And finally at the end, he said, okay, you can keep on training. And that was my in to start training. And while we were training for those months, he would put all the fight concepts together for Immortals. And I played the hero because I was the same proportions as Henry.
Yeah.
So in all those concepts, the stunt coordinator saw that. And he's like, oh, who's this guy? And John's like, he's new. He's a skilled martial artist. And stunt coordinator says, can he do the job? And he's like, yeah, but he's not in the union. He's not a stunt performer yet. And he's like, well, can he do the job? Yeah. And John's like, well, I think he could. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they announce about 2 weeks later, he announced the whole core team. And then finally, at the end, I'm like, oh, my name wasn't there. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. I get to train.
Right.
And he says to double Henry Cavill, Alain Moussi. Wow. And that's how I got my first gig. And then I ended up doing the prep for 8 weeks and then shooting for 3 months. And it was just the stunt boot camp. It was an incredible experience. And I got to learn all this kind of stuff, but I also was exposed to other stunt coordinators and stunt performers, which opened tons of doors for me. And I started working because I did a good job. So, yeah, and then that opened the door to all my stunt work.
Yeah.
Now, that was in 2010. 2011, I ended up working on this martial arts show with Onset Stunts with Jean's team. And we put on a showcase, Jean liked to do this. He liked to put on live showcases for directors because what you see live is very impressive compared to what you see on a screen.
Yeah.
Because you hear the impacts and you see everything like happen in front of you. Like, oh,
and you kind of assume there's like editing sometimes.
Yeah, like even that wall thing, I thought that they would like attach people like with hooks.
Yeah.
Now that you said you can do it, maybe I can. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I'd love to do it.
You could try.
That would be.
But yeah, no, but that's exactly what it is. Because you see it's all done for real.
Yeah.
And it's very impressive. So we do this showcase for this producer. His name is Dimitri Lokothetis, and who happens to be the producer and director of Kickboxer Retaliation.
Oh, nice.
And I met Dimitri in 2011. So I had the opening fight and the closing fight in that that showcase. Mm-hmm. And it's like the opening fight was 5 minutes. Me and my buddy Max, another big dude, he was 220 pounds at the time. And we're moving, we're kicking, we're falling, we're hitting each other. And, you know, everything you can think of was in there.
Yeah.
And by the end of the showcase, Dimitri came to introduce himself. He talks to me for about 5 minutes, asked me about my background, where I come from, my training background. And that's it. He said, great job. I loved watching your work. And that was it. The next day, I got a call from casting saying, hey, Alain, listen, the director Dimitri wants you to audition for the lead of his film. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I was already cast as a fighter in the film.
Yeah.
But he says, the lead, he says he wants you to audition in 3 days.
Oh, wow.
So, and I am a total rookie actor. Like, I have done a few workshops and a few classes, like, at that time. Like, I consider myself a rookie now. So, I am less than a rookie. And my friend was an actor, so I asked Jason. I said, listen, Jason, can you help me? He said, yes. So, for 3 days, we work on it. Then I go in, I do the audition. The next day, I get a call saying Dimitri wants to meet me for lunch.
Yeah.
So, I go in, I meet Dimitri. He says, listen, what I want to do is relaunch the martial arts genre because it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. So my goal is to relaunch because I'm a martial artist, and he is. He trained with Ed Parker at the time. Actually, he coached Elvis, Dimitri, interestingly enough. Yeah, I swear. Yeah, he's got an interesting story, but he's got a great martial arts background. And he says, I want to relaunch the martial arts genre, and I want to do it with you. So how about we do a few pictures together?
Nice.
I'm like, well, how about we do?
Yes, that sounds good to me.
Me and you are thinking the same thing. It's like, you know, we're connected right now. It's great. So I get in there. 3 weeks in, show goes down. The investor had shady problems. Funny enough, he was arrested by the FBI on his yacht years later. So that's another story.
It's like Wolf of Wall Street.
Right? It's crazy. So then fast forward, he told me during that shoot, though, he had Kickboxer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, with me, right? And he's like, right. of course, with you, LA. That's what we're going to do. So we go 2 years later. I kept on doing stunt work. I was very successful. It was a great life. I really loved doing stunt work. It's fun. Yeah. So he calls me, he said, come to LA, you need to audition for Kickboxer with my partner. So I go in there with Max, and then we audition, we do this live showcase. And again, we had Ted Field was there at the time we did The Last Samurai. So I meet him, he's very soft-spoken and doesn't say much. So I'm like, oh, he's not impressed. And that's all I can think of. So I got to really put it on. So we do this thing, and the last move is this thing where I go backwards into a front flip, and my foot goes up and kicks the guy under the chin. It's like, it's different. It's in the movie. It's cool. And I did it. As I landed, Ted shot up and he was like, yeah, that's Kickboxer. That's Kickboxer. That's what we're doing right there. That's and, nice. And Dimitri, meanwhile, just kind of, I knew that. he knew. He was like, I mean, he planned this. So finally, they had me do a screen test. It worked out. And then about, 9 months later, they announced Batista, GSP, and myself as the
That's
Kickboxer.
That's amazing.
So for me, Kickboxer.
GSP too?
Yeah, GSP is in Kickboxer Vengeance. Yeah,
this
man.
It's going to be good.
It's awesome. Vengeance. So Vengeance comes out last year in 2016. Amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm doing Kickboxer. For me, it's going full circle. I can't believe that my first movie is Kickboxer. Because that's my movie.
I was going to say, you call yourself a rookie actor, but this is what you've been studying your entire life.
This is what I want to do, man.
This is exactly it.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Plus, then all of a sudden, we have Van Damme who's on the project, which was an idea. We discussed it way back when, but it wasn't done until we started shooting, and then the deal was done. So then Van Damme comes in. And that's the icing on the cake for me because, you know, this is now I'm on set. So I'll give you like, there's a moment on, if you see Vengeance, we have a fight in the rain, me and Jean-Claude. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was like almost like that passing of the torch moment. Mm-hmm. And we fight and fight. And I remember once it's in the rain, he throws me down, I slide, and they call cut. And as I'm getting up, I'm like, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah. I was thinking, and, did you cry? Were you like, oh, my God?
I'm like, believe. You know, and we had more shots to do, but it's like, I don't know. There was a moment there where I'm like, look where I am. I'm on this set, and I'm starring in this movie, and Jean-Claude is in the movie. Are you kidding me right now? This is insane, you know? So I was so grateful and just happy in that moment of happy, total bliss, total happiness. And then, you know, we got that done. That did really well. And then here we are in Kickboxer Retaliation. Yes. Second time around. The movie is now directed by Dimitri. It's written, produced, and directed by Dimitri, who's extremely passionate about it. And it shows, because he wanted to make this a big movie. Mm-hmm. He wanted martial arts, this martial arts film, to not just be, you know, a martial arts film.
Yeah.
He wanted it to look like a big film and had beautiful cinematography and amazing action pieces that drive the story forward.
And we're getting the reviews as a result of that.
And Forbes, great, thank you,
great,
Forbes.
Yeah, great review from Forbes and IGN.
Oh my God, IGN, man, it's awesome. And then more are rolling in. And it's very positive, you know? It's a even better movie than Vengeance. And it's just, it's impressing a lot of people.
Yeah, it's nice to see them, like, kind of break that mold. Because I felt like back in the day, they would make this really awesome movie. Mm-hmm. And they just made a couple of straight-to-DVD things just to, like, build off the name. But here they're actually giving honor to that genre of movie.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's Dimitri's mandate. That's what he wants, you know? So Kickboxer Retaliation, to me, is a huge achievement. You know, and obviously I came into the project with a lot more confidence now. I've done it a few times. I knew who was Jean-Claude and me. Like, we had great chemistry. I get to work with Mike Tyson. Freaking awesome.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
He just came out with a new podcast called Bite the Mike.
Oh, man.
So, Mike, when you take a picture with him, he's very funny. And so, he'll do, like, you'll say somebody takes a picture, you go,
oh my gosh!
And pretend to bite your ear.
He's
hilarious,
amazing.
Hey, if that's your thing. You gotta milk it, right?
Listen, you got either you embrace it, or you get it. You know, somebody, everybody else is gonna be on it. So then I work with Mike. I got hit by Mike. I got pounded in the chest by Mike. You see it in slow motion in the movie. I got clipped by Mike.
Yeah, how do you deal with that, especially when you're fighting, like, your idol? Like, that first scene is a throwaway because you're sort of in awe that Jean-Claude Van Damme is hitting you. You're like, yes, please. Yes.
Yeah. But no, it's, I don't know. It's funny. It's a funny feeling.
Yeah.
The first time you hit me, it was a funny feeling.
Yeah, you were saying.
I'm like, oh, I got to give it back.
Yeah.
Because I'm competitive that way. Yeah. Listen, I have fun. But, you know, whatever you dish out, you got to take.
Yeah.
So, that's what makes a scene work.
Yeah.
That dynamic. So, for sure, me and him had a great, great time because we were working at the same level, which was awesome, you know. But obviously, you are in awe. But you know what? The first day, the first scene we shot was a dialogue scene.
Yeah.
And we were there, and I saw, and honestly, I'm like, dude, he's like a little nervous. And later we talked, me and Jean-Claude, and he's like, obviously, first day, he's like, yeah, it's first day, man, it's first day. And I'm like, this guy was just total action star, total pro, and he's awesome at it. And he looks great first day, no matter what. Yeah. He looked amazing. And he still gets jitters. And I thought that was so cool. We're all human. Mm-hmm. And I just felt even better about myself on that day. I was like, this is cool. We're both nervous. It's great, you know? No, just beautiful moments. And like I said, Mike, man, was cool to work with. And I got to chat with him. It was awesome. And half Thor Bjornsson, the mountain, I got beat up by him like crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The end fight is with half Thor. 400 pounds and 6'10".
Jeez.
He tossed me like a 5-year-old in the pool.
And you're just like...
He grabbed me by the throat and by the body and he goes, vroom, and I fly like 12 feet and hit the ground. And I'm like... He literally tossed me like I tossed my daughter. It's like, it's crazy. You know how strong that guy is. Super nice guy. We had a blast. And then Christopher Lambert. Lambert is a gentleman. He's awesome. And I learned a lot from him just chatting and watching him work. Again, I try to absorb as much as I can from everybody, all the pros I work with.
I'm super excited for Kickboxer Retaliation. Where can the public find this?
It's going to be on iTunes. So January 26th, which is this Friday, available on iTunes and on VOD.
Okay.
And some select theaters as well around the U.S.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, but definitely go and download it right away. You can pre-order now, by the way. You can make the move, right? I wouldn't even wait.
You can pre-order on iTunes now?
Yeah.
Okay,
guys, I would not even wait.
It just drops it in your thing.
Okay.
Don't wait. I think you should pre-order the movie right now. I think it's the right thing to do. You don't want to have that stress on the day, right? Friday's going to be a big day. You're going to have all kinds of things to think about. Pizza, beer, and Kickboxer will be done. You're ready for your night, invite your friends at home, and you watch the movie on iTunes.
Awesome.
Right?
Yes.
Is that a good promo?
That's how I cut a promo. That's how I cut a promo.
We're going to have to cut it. We'll have a Fit Club party.
I know, right?
Well, as you should.
Thank you so much for joining us. This was an incredible interview.
Cool, man. I had a blast. Thank you so much for your time.
And we got to have you back in for the third installment.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Hey, we're about to start it off. It's going to be out in 2019.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Boom.
As always, guys, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. I am running the marathon to raise money for water pumps in Africa. So if you want to donate, you can kind of go on the little byline. It is all there for you guys.
And I'm Ale Moussi. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, Ale Moussi, and then on Facebook as Ale Moussi Official. And don't forget, get your pre-order of Kickboxer Retaliation.
See you guys next week.
Hollywood redefined. Colombia.